You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Today, we're continuing our series called Great Faith. It's all about strengthening and building up our faith. Over the past couple of weeks, we'll look at the Bible, specifically in the book of Hebrews, and learn from specific people how we can have great faith. This week, we're going to look at another person, a man. Now, we talked about the promises of God. We talked about what God can do for us, through us. That's why we can have great faith. But it's a question for us as we continue to talk about great faith. What if the promises of God seem far off? What if you're here today, you're believing God for something, and I believe all of us here today are believing God for something in 2019. I'm pretty sure all of you have your prayer points. You're believing great things from God. But again, what if the promises of God seem far off? Maybe perhaps for some of us here today, we feel like, Lord, I want to believe, pero nagdili lagi, Lord. Lord, I want to believe for something, pero parang my present reality doesn't seem to align with it. How do we maintain great faith when the promises of God seem impossible? You're believing for provision, but when you open your wallet, parang wala, Lord. Or you check your bank account, parang Lord, asa ang provision. Or you're believing God for healing, but when the test results come and it doesn't look good. You're believing God to have great grades, but you didn't pass your past midterms. I'm not declaring that. Or maybe you're having a hard time with a certain subject. How do we maintain great faith when it seems difficult to believe on the promises of God? And that's what we're going to talk about here today. So we're going to read Hebrews chapters 11, verse 11 to 12. And it says there, by faith, Sarah herself perceived power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the immeasurable grains of sand by the seashore. When we talk about faith, it's easy for us to remember this guy, Abraham. We've talked a lot about this guy, especially last year, but an entire series, when we look into his life called Unwavering. When it comes to the Hall of Faith, or people of great faith, Abraham is one of those people na parang he's just there. He's a man of great faith. But when it comes to his wife, Sarah naman, medyo naiwan si Sarah. Si Sarah, minsan left behind or in the shadow si Sarah when it comes to the faith of Abraham. Abraham's a guy of great faith, and then there's Sarah, his wife. But when we look at the life of Sarah, she's actually a woman of great faith as well. In fact, she was listed or named in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, where it's often called the Hall of Faith, the people of great faith. And Sarah is one of those people. She has exhibited great faith, and it's sad that sometimes we look down on her, parang dili kayo great ang faith ni Sarah. But we're going to look at her life and learn from her, or learn from her experience, and how to have great faith. So in this story, we're going to go back muna, all the way back to Genesis chapter 18. Before we go back to Hebrews 11, we're going to expound on the story of what's happening. In Genesis chapter 18, the Lord God appeared to Abraham. He's about to have a meetup with Abraham once again. Now he enters the place of Abraham. Then in verse 10 of Genesis chapter 18, the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Talking to Abraham. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. God says, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Now, this is part of God's promise to Abraham and to Sarah. Years before, God had called them out from a certain place and told them, Abraham, I'm going to do this for you and for your family. God had that three-point plan or promise for Abraham. He was going to prosper Abraham. He was going to make them a great nation, and he was going to bless them. He said, now, Abraham, I'm going to prosper you, make you rich, bless you so much. You're going to have your own land. You're going to be a great nation. Mudaghan mo, multiply mo. And of course, you'll be a blessing to many because you're going to be so blessed. But out of all of these promises, there was one that seemed far off for Abraham and for Sarah. Na parang dili siya mal-fulfill na now that they were in their twilight years na. And that was the promise to become a great nation. For them to be a great nation, to increase in number, that means magkaanak sila. They'll have sons, daughters, children, and grandsons and all that. But in verse 11, we get the current state of Abraham and Sarah. And it says here, now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. What this simply means, church, was that it was impossible for Sarah to be pregnant. At this time, at their age, at this season, logically, biologically, medically speaking, kung tanang doktor ko ang imong world, if you were to assess them, they could not be pregnant. Sarah could not be pregnant. Impossible na. They were past that age. And so, it comes to no surprise now when Sarah heard this, of what the Lord was speaking to her, when the Lord told her, you're going to have a son about this time next year. Sarah basically reacted in this way. Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? Now, when we look at this, this isn't just parang joyful, happy kinakatawa. Do you have friends na pasukay mo, hapak, kumakatawa? I'm actually kind of like that. But this isn't that kind of joyful laughter, happy, then okay lang. When Sarah laughed, it was more of a laughter of resignation. Have you ever had that experience when you were a student or we're a student now, when you're taking that exam, tapos it comes to a point na wana kay matubag. Tinikatawa lang, wana ni. Have you ever had that? I've had that experience when I was in college. Finals exam pa, I was taking it parang, Lord, wala ni Lord. GG na ni. I look at the person sitting next to me, katawa po siya na ako, bro, kamusta ka? Wala po, bro. Katawa lang me. Not because we're so happy we had given up. Laughter of resignation. And that's what Sarah was feeling. And why was she feeling that? This was Lord speaking to her. We might say, grabe ka Sarah, grabe ka mabaw ang faith ni mo. Why did she had this feeling of resignation? Well, to understand or to give context to Sarah naman, to start up, to be fair naman to her, it had been 24 years since they first received the promise. This was not the first time Sarah had heard God speak to them about having a son, about becoming a great nation. 24 years ago pa lang, they had heard this. God says, you're going to be a great nation. You're going to have a son. In fact, God has given Abraham and Sarah 6 restatements of the promise. 6 times or so, God had spoken that to them, reminded them, restated this promise that you're going to have a son or you're going to have a child. You're going to multiply. You're going to be a great nation. Sarah had heard it time and time again throughout the years. And here's the thing. Here's the final nail in the coffin. Sarah was 90 years old. At this time, when God visited them once again, when God told them about next year, magkaanak na mo, Sarah was 90 years old. At an age when we would think, Sarah, dapat imong ginahuna, funeral plan na nimo, last will and testament na nimo, Sarah, dapat imong ginakabisihan karon. And now here comes someone telling her, Sarah, you know what? Your motherhood years are ahead of you yet at 90 years old. Arang, if you were Sarah, tempa, play that na ako na. Sarah was 90 years old. She was gonna give birth at 91. This was not the first time Sarah resigned herself. Actually, there's a story of Sarah asking Abraham to have a child with her servant kasi feeling niya, di na siya magkaanak. Basically, Sarah had hung up the gloves. She wasn't gonna fight the fight of faith. Parang, Lord, di na ako, resign na ako. She laughed in resignation. And when we look at this, how can this woman be a woman of great faith? Sarah was basically responding in unbelief. And I believe for many of us, we found ourselves in that state of unbelief. For many of us, nitambay ta sa state of unbelief. Now, when we hear things like this, when we hear things like God's promises, God's ability to do wonders in life, ni pastok sa lungga nato, comes in, it walks out. Because we're in that perpetual state na, Lord, di na ako, Lord. Maybe it's for them. Maybe the life of great faith is for the people around me. Maybe the life of experiencing your promises is for other people except me, Lord. And I'm just gonna stay here in this part of unbelief, much like Sarah. Sarah was like that. But you know what, church? Her story didn't end there. A lot of us, when we hear the name Sarah, yata tama ni Sarah. Ah, si Sarah, katong ni doubt, the woman who laughed. But Sarah's story didn't end there. And here's my hope for all of us, church, that your story won't end there as well. I don't know what your state is right now, your circumstance, your challenge, your battle. And perhaps for some of us, many of us here today, we can relate to Sarah thinking, Lord, it seems impossible. I want to believe, but here is my reality now, Lord. I want to believe. I want to look forward and say, Lord, I want to walk this great faith with you. But Lord, I look at my life and this is what I see around me. I don't know what you're believing, church. Salvation for your household. Maybe you're believing for weeks, years. And every time you come home, Lord, is there hope for my family? Whatever that prayer that is, grades, provision, healing, and you look at the current reality and say, Lord, imposible na. My hope and my prayer is that your story won't end there because God is not done with you yet, just as he was not done with Sarah. Here's what happened as we continue the story in verse 13. The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? God was like, ano ka nakatawa? You see, God understands our circumstances. When God was telling Abraham and Sarah, it was not like God missed the memo, nagulang na si Abraham and Sarah. It was like, wait, Abraham, play that ni mo gani? Ay, patay, imposible na di ay. I'm sorry, I came 24 years too late. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. God was not like, I don't know what you're going for, Abraham, but I'm just gonna tell you this anyway. No, he knows for a fact that Sarah has been barren for years, Abraham is old. These people are old and it's impossible on their own to have a child. And yet God still says to them, you're gonna have a son. Sarah hears this next verse that must have felt like a bullet to her. It says here, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son." God says these words to Sarah, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" I believe many of us here today need to be reminded of that. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It's easy for us to limit God with our limitations, with our circumstances, box Him in whatever has boxed us. But God is the God of the impossible. We cannot limit God to what we're feeling. The word there, hard, when God says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" means pala, which means to be marvelous, to be wonderful, to be surpassing. Basically, He's asking, is anything too marvelous for God? Is anything too great, too awesome for God to do? That the God of the universe, is there anything else out there that He cannot do? God confronts Sarah of her unbelief. The terrible thing about unbelief is that it is basically a sin because in effect, it calls God a liar. It's like a fist to God and say, "Lord, I know better. Lord, you don't know what I'm going through, Lord. This is my situation. This is what I'm feeling right now, Lord." We're telling God, "Lord, this is ground zero. You're above there. You don't know what's happening." That's what unbelief is. And so when we look back to the story of Sarah, what happens after this confrontation? When you go back to Hebrews 11 and we want to remember this woman, Sarah, it says here in verse 11, "By faith, Sarah received the power to conceive." That's her by faith. The woman who laughed, who didn't believe God, moved in faith. I imagine that. This is Sarah, guys. She moved in faith. We've talked about faith previously, that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen. That Sarah, from being so sure of her unbelief, became so sure that God could make her pregnant. Sarah has this assurance, conviction, that even though she was old and in her twilight years, she was going to experience pregnancy, she received the power to conceive. Not from her own self. Dili po mutant si Sarah. She has a special ability to reproduce on her own. No, she had this power given to her by God. This miracle. And here's the thing. Even when she was past the age, God did not make her younger. God was like, "I'm going to make you younger, Sarah, para magkaanak." No, even at your state, even at your present circumstance, Sarah, "I'm going to do wonders in your midst." And that speaks a lot for us as well, church. Even in the midst of your circumstance now, God can do wonders. God can do miracles. Our problems, our struggles are not a hindrance to God being able to do amazing things in us and around us. Don't say, "Lord, you cannot work in what's happening around me right now," because this is happening. God can and will do what He wants to do in your life. He can do the impossible in your life amidst that. Says here, even when Sarah was past the age, why was she so sure? Why did she become so fired up with faith? Says here, she considered Him faithful. It's not because she summoned all her will. "Lord, kaya na ako, believe na jugo, you're faithful." But no, it says here, she considered her view, her knowledge of God, her perspective of God now was that, "Lord, you're faithful. You're trustworthy. I can trust in what you've said. I can trust in your promises to me. But whatever you've spoken to us, Lord, though it seems impossible, I'm going to believe and hold on to that promise, Lord." And what was the result? Verse 12, "Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore." God worked in the life of this seemingly ordinarily old woman, and she was able to give birth. In Genesis chapter 21, verse 6 to 7, Sarah said, "God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me." And she said, "Who would have said to Abraham and Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne him a son in his old age?" That the woman who laughed in resignation before is now laughing in great joy. And that's what we want for your church. Rather than laugh in resignation when you hear of God's promises for you, when you want to believe something for God, you won't laugh in resignation, but you would laugh in great joy and anticipation. Three things I'm going to share that we can learn from the life of Sarah. Looking at that story very quickly lang, what can we learn from the life of Sarah? Firstly, waiting is important. As we talk about believing for the impossible, it seems so big. Waiting is important. Genesis chapter 18, verse 14 says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you." When God told Abraham and Sarah, "You're going to finally have a son," it wasn't like, "You're going to have a son 3 seconds from now. One, two, three. Okay, anak na mo." At the appointed time, there is a right time, a right season for everything. Whatever that you're believing for, a lot of times we box God with our own calendars. I understand that. I'm not the most patient man out there. Sometimes we got that, "Lord, I want this now. Maski vlog, make me patient. Lord, make me patient now. Okay? Well, we want things now. We grew up in an instant generation. We're so caught up with the fruit, the results. If you're a student, you here, you want good grades. Diba? We want the great grades, the scholarship, the honors, but we don't want to study. We want the result right away, but what about the process? If you want to live healthily, we want the fit, healthy body. Some of you, you want the six-pack abs and all that. Pero di mo ganyan mag-exercise. Di ganyan mag-gym. Di ganyan mag-jog. Di ganyan mag-diet. We just want the result, but we don't want the process. Well, the same thing when it's believing the impossible. When it's believing for the promises of God. There is a time and a season of waiting. It says here, at the appointed time. It says here, this happened at just the time God had said it would. God's timetable for you, church, is different. But here's the thing. As long as God is faithful, He'll be faithful to make it happen. There's time and a season that we have to embrace waiting. What we become during the wait is as important as what we will receive after the wait. Oftentimes, during the wait, God is working in us. Sometimes He doesn't just give you what you want immediately because He wants to do something in you. He's working something in you. And that's as much as important as what you will receive after the wait. Great faith is forged in great delay. In fact, great character as well is forged in great delay. When you choose to wait, when you choose to embrace the waiting, your faith, your character is built up and is forged. To quote a philosopher by the name of Tony Gonzaga, says here, maybe there are some things in your life you're in a rush to get to or to have. It may hurt now to wait, but it will always be more than what you dreamt of if you remain patient. At the right time, at the right season, it will be much more than you ever imagined when you choose to wait. I mean, think of it this way. Anyone here, you love eating instant cup noodles, the student starter pack noodles. You could eat those noodles. Nga balag di ka mo wait when you cook, when you put the hot water, if kanan mo mukaw oil, powder. But you know that it's gonna taste best when you let it simmer, when you let it cook. The same thing with the promises of God. When we choose to wait. Secondly, nothing is too hard for the Lord. I want to emphasize this. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Genesis 21 verse 1. The Lord kept His word for Sarah and for Abraham, of course, and did for Sarah exactly what He had promised. His word for Sarah did not deviate. His promise, He kept His word. God is faithful. He will come through with His promises. It's exactly what I said. I'm going to come here at the point in time next year, and it happened. God was faithful to them. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. In fact, talking about God being able to make Sarah pregnant, you know that God has the ability to close and open wombs. It's a story in Genesis from another time. But the point is, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Don't box God. Don't limit God. Nothing is too hard for God. Third and finally, truth brings transformation. Perhaps you've wondered, why is there a change in the life of Sarah? Mga naman, confident na siya mingon, she considered him faithful. Well, basically, Sarah had this encounter with the truth. Before, Sarah had this belief or this wall of unbelief. She had resigned herself. But in verse 14 of Genesis 18, she has this encounter, these sharp words which confronted her. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Her walls of unbelief crumbled, got hit. When she had an encounter with the truth, this was her unbelief, this was her reality. Yes, muna akong reality, muna tapos akong life. When she would compare it to the truth that she received from God, when she would compare it to what she heard from God, from God's words, from God's promises, her unbelief could not stack up to it. For all of you today, you're wanting, hoping, man, I want to have great faith. I want to be able to live in great faith. Lord, help me in my unbelief. What we need is an encounter with the truth. And for us, John 14 verse 6 gives us a picture of what the truth is. Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Church, truth for us is a person. The reason why Sarah considered him faithful, because she learned to trust God. Her relationship with God, her confidence in God grew from where it was before. And what this means for us is the degree that we want to have great faith is proportional to how our relationship with Jesus is. Because Jesus is the truth. Whatever lies, whatever mindsets we might have about God, about believing big things from God, about His promises, if you have doubts in your mind, if you have unbelief in your mind, bring it to Jesus. Have an encounter with the truth. And it will transform us. It will renew us. It will enable us to live in faith. That's how Sarah was able to become the woman of faith. She knew that God could do the seemingly impossible And her encounter with God transformed her from the inside and out. When you look at the story, when you sum up the story, it's not because grabe ka faithful si Sarah, parang highlight si Sarah, but rather it's how faithful God was in their lives. That though this couple, Abraham and Sarah, had failed time and time again, God did not give up on them. That's a good news for us, church. You feel like giving up, you feel like you failed God, Lord, I wasn't able to hold on to your promises. You know what? God is a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances. Don't give up. He's not done with you yet. He's not done with your story yet. May we have the faith to hold on and believe on the promises of God.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.